and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This lady runs a charity called Mind Medicine Australia, which is a huge advocate for psychedelic-assisted therapy. We're going to learn all about that and her and it. It's Tanya De Jong. How are you doing today, Tanya?
Thanks, Goff. Really well. De Jong it is.
Oh, I apologise.
That's all right.
Now, for those who don't know, what is Mind Medicine Australia?
Mind Medicine Australia is a charity that was set up to expand the treatment options available to doctors and their patients in the treatment of a range of mental illnesses, including depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, addictions and other conditions, through ensuring that psychedelic-assisted therapies can become accessible, affordable and available to all Australians who need them and who qualify for them and provide informed consent to their psychiatrist to have these treatments and want to have these treatments because nothing else is working for them. So what we know is that we have a massive mental health crisis in Australia, with up to one in three Australians now with a mental illness, and expected that one in two of us will suffer a mental illness in our lifetime. And the current treatments in the case of depression only work for about 30% of patients, and in the case of post-traumatic stress disorder, 5 to 10% of patients. And many of the current treatments also have significant side effects. And in the case of psychedelic-assisted therapies, what we're seeing is just after 2 to 3 medicinal doses of psilocybin for depression or MDMA for post-traumatic stress disorder, between 60 to 80% of patients are going into remission alongside a short course of psychotherapy.
Very good, very good. Now, to be clear as well, just so people don't get confused, you're not a doctor, you're an advocate. So what is it that drew you to this, and what was it that created your interest in psychedelic-assisted therapy?
I'm a social entrepreneur and a philanthropist, and what drew me to this particular field is, well, firstly, my husband and I have set up 6 charities, so we're very interested in things that can really change a system, that can give real hope to many, many people. And through the other charities that we've set up, we're very aware of the fact that at the heart of homelessness, unemployment, most disabilities, pretty much any kind of disadvantage, sits mental illness. And we were aware that millions of Australians are not getting well through current existing treatments. And I think we all know that. We all would, if we don't suffer from a mental illness ourselves, we definitely have people in our families and our workplaces who are suffering and not getting well. And we're seeing more and more people taking their own lives. And so I've always been really interested in hacking mind, body and spirit. So I'm a singer as well as a social entrepreneur and philanthropist, and I've always been looking at, you know, different treatments and ways to unlock more of my potential, I guess, and be the best person and singer and performer and leader that I can be. So I've tried lots and lots of different things: yoga, tantra, cryotherapy, myotherapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, all sorts of different therapies. And then I came across psychedelic-assisted therapies, and I've always been pretty anti-drugs. I have never tried any drugs in my life until 2016, and I never even got drunk. So singing has always been my drug of choice. And singing, there is an incredible neuroscience behind singing. Singing is like a super wonder drug, especially when you sing with others, which I talk about in my TED talk, how singing together changes the brain. And so singing had always been my drug. And then I read this article in the New Yorker magazine about a trial that had taken place at New York University for patients with an end-of-life terminal diagnosis of cancer. And 80% of the patients in that trial went into remission from their depression or anxiety associated with that diagnosis after just 2 treatments of psilocybin alongside a short course of psychotherapy. And one of the patients profiled was a person who had some intergenerational Holocaust trauma, and my mother and grandparents were Holocaust survivors. And so I immediately resonated with this, and I thought, wow, I really need to go and try this therapy. And so I tried to get into some of the trials, but they were only for people with certain diagnoses, and there were no trials going on for so-called healthy persons at the time. Though we all carry trauma, if not our own, our parents, or a collective trauma, or trauma that's come through our DNA epigenetically. And so I was then introduced to the Netherlands Psychedelic Society, and these medicines are legal, psilocybin's legal in the Netherlands. And I was introduced to a Dutch guide, and my husband and I went to the Netherlands, and we experienced a medicinal dose of psilocybin under the supervision of a guide. And by the way, to anyone out there thinking of doing this, you must do this under the supervision of experienced, trusted people that you have checked out. And this was a life-changing experience for both of us, mind-blowing, profound, deeply healing sense of being connected to self, others and the planet, part of everything, and everything's part of you. And I've never seen anything in nature the same again, whether it's a flower, a leaf, a seashell, a raindrop, the sky, you name it, a blade of grass, everything. You can see the fractillion, magical miracle of everything in our world. And I also experienced an enormous sense of gratitude. And I also received some incredible insights about things that I could change in my life and myself, things that I might have not let go of from my past that was still with me in the present, and was able to let go a lot of the baggage that I was carrying. And I've subsequently done more sessions, went back to the Netherlands 1 year later after we'd fully integrated that experience. And it's very important to say to people that the integration of these experiences is as important as the medicines. They really go hand in hand. So the therapy plus the therapeutic integration of these experiences and the insights that you receive in these profoundly altered states really needs to be unpacked and worked through, ideally with an experienced therapist or guide or counselor or somebody that you really trust, so that you can make the most of these experiences and really start to heal whatever it is that you're carrying along with you. Because life's too precious. We don't want to keep bringing the past into the present.
Very true, very true. Now, on that, I do want to backtrack just a little bit to what you said at sort of the beginning of the answer there, and that is, so I myself have a disability. I'm blind, as folks would know. Now, I would suggest that any mental health, for example, that I may have come across within myself is due to circumstances that have been thrust upon me by others. So prevention and education, I think, is important as well before any treatment. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we all have to adopt healthy lifestyle choices, you know, sunshine, fresh air, good breathing, walking in nature with our loved ones and our pets, eating healthy food, meditation, sleeping properly, you know, all these sorts of things are healing 101. And it's really important, stretching, you know, or yoga or other practices like that are absolutely critical to maintain good health and to prevent serious physical or mental illness.
Absolutely.
But, you know, unfortunately, most of us are carrying some kind of trauma. It's, you know, that's really part of the human condition. And as I say, if it's not our own trauma, it's usually come to us through our parents or grandparents or a collective trauma. You know, at the moment we're experiencing wars and a lot of anxiety and uncertainty, very, very troubling times today. And many people are feeling deeply traumatized by that. During COVID, many people were traumatized by the lockdowns or having lost their businesses, kids not being able to go to school. You know, there's multiple different ways that people can be traumatized that we don't often think of as trauma. For example, it doesn't have to be a road accident or a veteran at war or someone who's been sexually abused. There's many, many ways that as human beings we can be traumatized, and it can be now or it can be from the past or it can be a combination of all of that. And it just means that we can't fully experience the full joy and gratitude of being alive in what is still a beautiful world, even despite much of the evil that is in the world as well.
Now, in an ideal situation, so let's say that everything is legal and everything is happy and all good, would the process be, for example, let's say it's me, for example, would I go to my general practitioner? I'd say this is what's happening in regards to my mental health, and do you think psychedelic-assisted therapy would be helpful? He would then refer me to a psychologist who is trained in psychedelic-assisted therapy. The psychologist then would evaluate me to see if, yes, this is appropriate or not, and then I would have a session. Is that ideally how you would like this to play out?
So the way that it's currently playing out is that, firstly, Australia has just become the first nation in the world to reschedule these medicines, and this is through the rescheduling applications that we put in, Peter and myself and Mind Medicine Australia, for the rescheduling of psilocybin MDMA from Schedule 9 prohibited substance to Schedule 8 controlled medicine. And so now what needs to happen is this: if a patient wants to have access to these treatments, they need to go to a psychiatrist and ask them if they will help them access these treatments. And that psychiatrist needs to go through an ethics committee and get what's called authorised prescriber status. So they get an ethics committee approval and then an approval from the TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, to treat patients. And quite a number of psychiatrists in Australia have recently achieved that, just in the past week or so, actually. So that's pretty exciting. And, you know, of course, they're going to be bombarded by patients who want access to these treatments. So it's very important. We're training hundreds of psychiatrists and other clinicians to work with these treatments and to sit with patients and provide the therapy and support that patients will need to have these treatments through our Certificate in Psychedelic Assisted Therapies program. We've just finished training this year 120. We've trained 360 students so far, many psychiatrists, psychologists, GPs, nurses, social workers, counsellors, psychotherapists and so on. And next year we'll be training probably upwards of 200, but people need to get their applications in because, as you can imagine, there's an enormous demand for this training. It's a world-class faculty and people are just loving the training, not just for learning about psychedelic-assisted therapies, but just what else they're learning in the course. And
when you say training, are you talking about the psychologists themselves or are you talking about the patients?
No, the therapists are being trained by Mind Medicine Australia to work with these therapies, otherwise they can't practice.
No, I understand that. I was just wanting clarification. So you're saying that the psychologists are really excited about this treatment?
Psychiatrists primarily, but psychiatrists and psychologists and psychotherapists, but the psychiatrists are the prescribers at the moment.
And how does a session happen? So let's say that it's me. Again, we'll use me as the example. Everything's been ticked off. They've said, yes, you're good to go. You're suitable for this kind of treatment. How does a therapy session happen?
So then what happens is the therapist, or psychiatrist and the other assisting therapist, which could be a psychologist, psychotherapist, for example, will have gone through with you what's going to, to some extent, I mean, as much as you can explain it, what's going to occur in the medicine session so that you're prepared and you set your intentions for healing or whatever it is that you're wanting to achieve through the medicine. That's really important. And then the medicine day arrives and, you know, you take the capsules, which are synthesized, and you put on some eye shades and some headphones and you listen to a very beautiful curated playlist that is designed for the different stages of experience, and then you go into an altered state with these medicines. In the case of MDMA, you're more present, so you're just feeling very warm, loving, but it is an altered state where you're able to talk about your trauma and you're able to revisit it without getting re-triggered or re-traumatized so that you can accept it and move forward with your life, which is why MDMA-assisted therapy is having such incredible results for trauma and also addictions, because addictions are underpinned by trauma. Then further psychotherapy occurs after that. In the case of psilocybin, the patient is in a more altered state, so generally they're not talking so much to their therapist. So the therapists are in the room with them. So there's usually two therapists in the room holding the space, supporting the patient. And then the patient, after they've been in that altered state, usually for, say, 4 or 5 hours, will come out of it. And then the integration process will start with integration sessions and further therapy as the patient talks about the insights that they've received for their life, their habits, their work, their whatever it might be, their relationships, and starts to make the necessary changes, but from a completely more flexible mind. So the mind becomes much more neuroplastic as a result, particularly the psilocybin, which starts to loosen up some of the really rigid, tight thought patterns that we'll often say to someone who's depressed, I'm not good enough, my life's not going to work out, you know, things are never going to work out, no one loves me, you know, the sort of things that people might say if they're really depressed. Uh-huh. And they're able to break out of those repetitive thought loops and have this very enhanced neuroplasticity for the next period of time following the medicine session, where skilled therapists can work with them to start to really set some new patterns and some new pathways of towards healing. And that's why these medicines are having such great outcomes.
And I also want to repeat something that you just said as well, which is it is all very supervised. Not like they give you the tablet and send you home. It's all very supervised, and there's trained therapists and all of that sort of stuff. So I just wanted to make that abundantly clear as well, just so that we didn't just skip over that point, because that's obviously very important. Now, I know that you've applied to the TGA for approval. Now, this would mean, my understanding would be that this would mean that My Medicine Australia would be importing and distributing the drugs, and you're also in charge of the training. Now, a lot of people have suggested that this is a conflict of interest and that you would have a bit of a monopoly situation, but you're also a charity and a non-profit, and so you can't profit from what you're doing. So can you please explain a little bit about that for us?
Sure. So we applied for the rescheduling of the medicines, and that's been successful, and the medicines are now in Schedule 8, controlled medicine. We have got a supply arrangement with a Canadian company, but that's so that the medicine price remains very reasonable and affordable. We're not making any money from that. This has cost us personally, in both time and money, millions and millions of dollars. And we are philanthropists, so we have no intention and never. We don't need to, and nor do we want to make money from people suffering. Our goal is to purely help those who are suffering through ensuring that these treatments are accessible, affordable and available. And the risk, of course, is that other people come in, they start supplying the medicines at really high cost so that only really wealthy people can access these treatments, and that's not our intention. We want to make sure that anyone, the poorest person, can have access to these treatments.
And how do you answer the critics that say that you want a monopoly, like you want to control the distribution and the training, and you want it to be all about My Medicine Australia, and you don't want other folks getting involved?
Well, we don't mind who gets involved. We think that's a great thing. We encourage anyone who wants to do any of those things to do those things. And if they want to go ahead and do them, we're not stopping them. And people are more than welcome to start their own enterprises, their own businesses, and do whatever they like. All we're trying to do is make sure that the ecosystem remains trusted and that people can make sure that they get access to medicines at the cheapest rates possible. And we're providing medicines for free to multiple trials around Australia at the moment, and we're funding and part funding many of those trials as well.
Cool, very cool indeed. So if people want to...
people are welcome to do whatever they want. It's a free country.
No. I mean, because you have had a lot of critics. There's been, if people do a Google search, they will see that you have had critics and people who have
small
said...
Small group of very jealous and resentful people, yes. Who have loud voices, yes.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to give you the chance to retort. So, yeah, because...
Well, it's unfortunate, you know, that people feel like that. And, you know, unfortunately, that happens to pioneers in any field. Being a social entrepreneur, I've started 4 charities before. I mean, I never expected to see, you know, this sort of behaviour from people when all we're trying to do is help. But, you know, there's a lot of jealousy in the space, and it's just really unfortunate. But we certainly have put out the olive branch multiple times. We've suggested that everyone works together and uses, and we are working with a lot of wonderful people in Australia. I mean, if you look at our advisory panel and our ambassadors and all of the wonderful people who are training with us and so on, we are working with the majority of people in this space in Australia. And there's a small group of people who've got their noses out of joint. Well, that can't be helped. That's just the way it is. And it's really important to say that without an enormous amount of determination, these medicines wouldn't be in Schedule 8 now, and people would still have no hope, those who've tried every other treatment, of treatments. Now people have hope. And access.
And again, to be clear, again, just so that people don't get themselves confused, you are a non-profit, so you're not doing you're not doing this to make
I money. Do this entirely for free, as does my husband.
So my Medicine Australia is not a business.
No, not at all.
And so if people want to learn more about Tanya and My Medicine Australia, where can they go? What can they do?
mindmedicineaustralia.org.au or I think it's .org, I can't think, .org. And we have some beautiful donors who help to support this charity, because obviously we can't fund it entirely on our own. It's an enormous mission that we have to really heal and alleviate the suffering in this country, and we cannot do this alone. We welcome other training organisations, other people providing medicines, absolutely. Whatever people want to do, the more the better, because there's millions of people in Australia suffering and we can't help them all.
No, well, I've watched a few documentaries and have done my research. I've got a friend of mine who's a psychologist who is qualified in this, and I don't see a negative, as long as it's done responsibly. I don't see a negative to psychedelic assisted therapy, and I hope that people get on board that sort of treatment plan, because I think it's...
I mean, we've had enormous support from the public. You know, all of the consumer organisations, a lot of the professional colleges and associations, politicians, public, you know, like everyone knows someone who's suffering.
So just finally, last question, where are you at in getting the drugs into Australia legally so that things can be done all above board and it's...
No, that's all been done. We've already supplied, not we, but I mean the registered pharmacists have provided medicines to some of the trials that are taking place in Australia.
And they're government approved, everybody's happy?
Yeah, they've all come in through the proper permits and under lock and key and, yep, following all the protocols, that's right.
So when do you, well, all right, that was the second last question. The last question is now, when do you think all of this will become more standard practice? What is your hope?
It's happening now, you know, like, I mean, it's happening slowly now, but over the next... You know, I'd say year to 2 years, Australia is in a really exciting position to lead the world. And a lot of the other nations like Canada, the US, the UK, Europe are looking at Australia, and many of their leaders are going to their governments and saying, look at Australia, we need to do what they've done.
Very good. Very good indeed. So just give the My Medicine website a plug one last time.
Yes. Let me just check the right one. Hold on. Let me just look. I think it has both. MindMedicineAustralia.org. And, yeah, we encourage people to apply for the certificate in psychedelic assisted therapies. We're doing, I think, 5 to 6 intakes next year, and applications are closing at the end of the year, and then the prices are going up for that. It's an incredible faculty, and most of the therapists who are doing it describe it as the best training they've done in their entire careers in terms of professional development. They also get CPD points for that, continuing professional development points. And then join our chapters, attend our events. We've got lots of free webinars. We've got Bessel van der Kolk next week. We've got Gabor Maté next month. Wade Davis coming up in February. We've got some amazing people speaking and supporting and doing our webinar series. And just reach out to us. Help us in any way you can. Please donate to us. We can't do this alone. This is a pioneering space, and if we really want to make a difference, then we all need to support this movement for change in healthcare in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Tanya. I really do appreciate you giving me your time.
It's a pleasure.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Rate and review. Friendly comment is always helpful. 5 stars, of course. And Beer Nuts Productions is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.